Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for shrinky dinks, malinky dinks, doopy doops, goobily doops, nibbity snaps, noobity boops, clibbity claps, blobbity boops on the internet. I am Parker, joined as always by a co-host Cumulus. How are you, Cumulus?
Snoobity poops, lippity loops, shoobity boops, all those too. I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty excited. I'm about to go on a vacation.
Ooh, it's vacation time, brother. Vacation time, brother. Vacation. Yeah, that's from an old Aqua Teen Hunger Force, because we're a very timely show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going on vacation soon.
That's true. We're going on vacation not together, but at the same time.
In tandem. Yeah, parallel to each other. Different, almost like exactly different points of the world. You're going a little bit further south. I'm going a bit further north. And yeah, it should be a fun time. Can't wait.
Yeah, you are going to New York City.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm going to Philadelphia, New York City, New Jersey. It's a rampart, whatever. It's a tour of those New England. Yeah, that's what I was basically the gist of what I was going for. And yeah, I can't wait to do it. Hang out with a bunch of people I haven't seen. What feels like years, and in many cases has been years. So it'll be a good time.
That sounds pretty fun. How long are you going to be in Philadelphia? You know that our favorite 9/11 oriented podcast bros are from near there.
Oh, I thought they were like, shit. I keep thinking that they're near to like central Pennsylvania. But yeah, I'll hit them up. And you're talking about those Rotten Rantings, right?
Those Rotten Rantings. They live, I'm not the best at Pennsylvania geography because Pennsylvania geography is weird because there's just two cities and then like a bunch of weird nothing in Pennsylvania. So I don't know. Who knows? I'm not sure where they live. Maybe they live nowhere near Philadelphia, but I get the feeling they do. I got that feeling.
I trust your feels. I'll have to hit them up and be like, hey, you want to get pestered by this dude? We almost went to their wedding, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. They can't really back down now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, Katie invited both of us to her wedding. So, yeah, like, once you've invited somebody to your wedding, you can't turn them down if they're in your town wanting to hang out.
Yeah, I don't even have to ask. I'll just show up. I'm going to, like, go to the door and be like, hey, you invite me to your wedding, and it's been a while now, so I need a place to crash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just show up with, like, some news clippings from 9/11, you know, and she'll be like, oh, this is, like, my favorite funny book, you know, this is my favorite thing that I like. And come on in, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll bring in all those weeks and weeks of 24-hour news cycle footage. Be like, nah, here's some people crying, isn't this? This is totally up your alley. And she'll be like, yeah, it is. I love it. It's all good. Because it all happened afterwards, after 9/11.
Mm, that's when movies began for me. I'm Katie Rutz.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to joke about people dying during 9/11 because it is ghoul summer, Mr. Frisbee.
I can't hardly believe it.
Once again, that's why you're going to New York. You're going to go there and torture nipples, gouge eyes, do some vomit stuff. That's why everybody goes to New York for the ghoul convention they do there.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you can have like a backwoods ghoul summer, but it's real gross. And you just want to get that full authentic effect. Like, you go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, you go to LA to see a film premiere, and you go to New York to torture people and slice off nips in a very ghoulish way. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. We went there together one time.
Yeah, we did. To visit War Day, one of our earliest guests on the show, back in season one, because mm-hmm. we're a podcast that goes by seasons, you see. And I get the feeling that she's like the smartest person at least that I know. I don't want to be bold and say for you as well, but yeah, I'm super excited to see her and feel intimidated by her intellect. And yeah, we were visiting her when she was attending, I think it was like NYU, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere like that.
That's true. And she took us to that sweet peanut butter and jelly place that we talk about from time to time. That was so great.
Hell yeah. With only people from Dayton inside, except for the cashier, who, to his credit, tried to fit in by saying he was from Dayton and then immediately retracted by saying, no, I think he was from Kentucky or something.
What a liar. That guy was a real piece of shit.
He was being funny. It's not like he was going to keep it up or anything. But yeah, it was cool that everybody else there, well, it was really just like attractive ladies that were from Dayton. That was it, right?
Yeah, that's true. The two attractive ladies from Dayton moved to New York to go to that peanut butter place.
Well, let's not be crass. There were four of them, and I think they were all attractive.
Oh, my mistake. I forgot how many there were.
There was so many. It was four is a big number. And I remember, yeah, it was just like they were all split up. Two of them were by the window, and the other two were, God, I don't know. I'm forgetting it now. Never mind.
By the wall.
But it was fun. It was great. By the wall, yeah, underneath the Dayton peanut butter flyer. That's how that all got started. Somebody mentioned it, and it's like everybody's like, I'm from Dayton. And that's how it starts.
Yeah, we all stood up like we were at a town meeting. I, too, am from Dayton, and I deserve my 15-second speech.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was kind of like that scene in Spartacus. Everybody stands up like, I'm Spartacus. And we're all saying like, I'm from Dayton.
We all had chimney sweep accents at the time.
Yeah, we did, because that's how Romans sound, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So you...
Yeah.
I pray to Jesus you go to Action Burger.
Yeah, you mention this every time we talk, like off show
even,
and whatnot.
Even when you're not going to New York. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, please go.
Have you been, or had you not been there since your most recent visits?
I've not been there.
Okay.
But those kissing contests talk about it a lot, and it seems like the goofiest place on earth.
Okay, so they're not down with it then. Like, they recognize its goofiness and recognize how ridiculous it looks. Because I've been looking at online pictures, and, oh, man. I would regret to call, like, any establishment half-assed, but this is the most half-assed looking establishment I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, I think that, like, when they first started, like, knowing about this place, they were, like, real into how goofy it is, but now I think they kind of genuinely enjoy it.
Okay.
Like, I think it's turned the corner for them.
Well, now my interest is a little bit more piqued, then, because, like, if they were in on, like, how satirically, well, not ironically bad it was, it's like, oh, all right, well, I guess I'm going to check this out. But now, if they think it's good, I need to hear the recommendations then. I don't want to fuck up and get like the tater tots when it's the waffle fries, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure everything will be bad that you get. That's the impression I get. But
okay.
It's really about the atmosphere and the rich, colorful characters that frequent the place, like the guy who sleeps, the people who play Street Fighter for 4 hours.
Oh, okay. Because there's an arcade machine wedged into this closet of a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen the photos, and it's like, I don't know if you should have taken a photo of this, man. Like, usually when you take a photo of something, you have to be proud of it. And it's like a good thing. You know, you want people to come by, but I look at it like, oh, man, where do you begin?
Yeah, it's basically a Dave and Buster's, like, just shoved into, like, a closet.
Yeah.
In the middle of Brooklyn.
And not like with a closet that has some sort of aesthetic to it, where it's like, oh, they designed this closet. It looks like a closet, like a storage unit, you know?
Yeah, it looks like my closet from when I was in high school. Like, it's just, like, real small, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, torn-out comic book pages, like, on the wall, like a bunch of Todd McFarlane drawings everywhere.
Yeah, there's a light bulb stuck in the ceiling without, like, any shade or glass over it, and it has a drawstring that you click on and off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's one of those.
Mm-hmm. It has like an extra piece of string tied to the beads, so you can actually, because like the rest of the beads fell off previously.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got too mad and had too many hard muscles and pulled on that cord.
Yeah, they got their ass whooped in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Pulled down.
Yeah,
the
they're
thing.
Like, lights out.
So it looks just terrible. So I would love it for you to go. But also, if you want to have fun instead in New York, I understand that too.
Yeah, that's the trade-off. Like, do I want to have fun or do I want to go to Action Burger? It does sound like an anomaly, though, and you know how I feel about anomalies. I think they're pretty neat, so I'm probably going to be tempted to go. And I don't know. If there's, like, a goofy t-shirt there, I'll be sure to send it your way.
Nice. I bet they do. I bet they got all kinds of goofy shit there.
Mm-hmm. It does appear that way.
Well,
what are you going to do in Las Wages, Nevada?
I'm going to lose all my money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see Ant-Man, as is customary.
Oh, really? You're going to go in for that?
Yeah, every time we go, we like to see whatever the new movie is in this cool IMAX theater that they have there.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes it works out, and we see Guardians of the Galaxy. Sometimes it sucks, and we see Pacific Rim. But, yeah, so I'm excited for that, because there are no IMAXs anywhere near me in my life, so I have to wait till Las Vegas. And I don't know, like hang out by the pool, maybe.
Yeah, read some comic books.
Yeah, they got a lot of comic books there. Going to get some comics. Going to hopefully do something I've wanted to do since I was 15 and take a bunch of drugs and hang out in Circus. So that's pretty exciting.
And have they redone Circus? Because I haven't been to Vegas in like 10 years.
It looks basically the way it looks in the movie. I'm sure they've redone it since that book came out, that Hunter S. Thompson book, which is why I want to do this.
Yeah, I figured as much. Like,
yeah.
There's one pinnacle book about taking drugs in Las Vegas, and that's the one.
Yeah, I figured it could go without saying, but just to clarify here.
Yeah, you want to have some fear and some loathing.
Yeah.
And you want to see lizard people and whatnot.
That's exactly what I want to see. So, pretty excited for that. And then after that, whatever's good, you know. I don't know, whatever goes on there.
You're going to see those, are Penn and Teller still there? Or?
Well, oddly enough, I've been wanting to see Penn and Teller. Every time I go there, I'm like, man, we should go see Penn and Teller. And then, like, we just kind of never do. And this time, I was like, this time is the time. I want to see that Penn and Teller because they're so sweet. But they're, like, not there. They're on tour in Europe or something.
Yeah, they've been doing a show like for British broadcasting or something. It's kind of like a panel show where they judge magicians, like these amateur magicians, and if they see the trick performed in front of them, they'll guess what the trick was, like what the how it was done. And if they can't figure it out, then or if they just have like no idea, don't know where to begin, they're like, okay, you're moving on to the next round to show us another trick, and that person ends up opening for them or something. It's like, you know, they get some kickback if they win.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of neat show, even though it is in like the country you dislike the most.
Well, yeah. I've seen clips of it, but never a full show. But it seems like a cool idea. I wish that I was so smart about magic that if somebody did a magic trick, I could just be like, you stupid motherfucker. I know that you got a secret compartment in your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is. Like, that's, I like that kind of smartness.
Yeah, and they've got it in spades. I mean, like, Teller used to be a teacher, so he's all about that smarmy, smart-ass nonsense, you know?
So he rapes children, you're saying?
I don't know if that's what smarmy and smart-ass means, but probably not, no. Well, actually, Penn was one of his proteges. He was a student or something like that.
Oh.
Right? Do I have their mythos wrong? Is this like, this is how they build themselves sometimes?
I don't know.
It's been a while since I've watched them. Did you ever see Penn and Teller Get Dead? That movie from like the 80s?
No, but it's been on my list to do on the Junk Fod show.
I think it's on YouTube now, so you can just watch it there. I watched it recently somewhere, and it's, oh man, it's goofy. And it's pretty, pretty good in some parts too. Like, it has that sort of, it walks that line between like, real stupid parts and real fun parts. The ending's weird as hell too. But anyway, yeah, old Penn and Teller film where Penn Jillette has like that weird crimp and curl hair mullet thing.
Yeah, he's got that hair that like Superman had after he came back from the dead.
Sort of, yeah, except he got a perm or something like that. Like it's very curly.
Yeah.
And they have like a lady journalist or something like who hits the road with them. And yeah, man, I remember watching that when I was a kid. And it was like real late at night and I didn't know what to think of any of it. And I was a big Penn and Teller fan. And I was like, oh, a Penn and Teller movie, you say? That sounds really good. And I was just kind of, I was mildly traumatizing at the time. And if you watch it, you'll see why. Gotcha. It's a super interesting rando film. Did they have another film too? Like later on?
I know that they've been in other films, but I don't think they made like one that was like specifically about them.
Okay. Yeah, that might be the only one, but I feel like they had another one that was like, it almost had that same, subtitle as like some of the Ernest P. Worrell films, like Penn and Teller, Get Spooky, or Penn and Teller Go to Jail, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, they had that TV show where it was like Penn and Teller goof on people who believe in the Loch Ness Monster, which I'm into. Penn and Teller.
The bullshit thing?
Yeah, Penn and Teller goof on people who like the idea of chemtrails or whatever. That show.
Oh, I had that title wrong. Sorry, it's Penn and Teller Get Killed, and that was from like '89. Sorry. You were saying chemtrails?
Well, you had it close enough. But yeah, the bullshit show where they just like exposed all kinds of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were exposing anti-vaxxers like fucking 15 years ago. And now everybody's on the train talking about we got to stop these anti-vaxxers. But we do got to stop those anti-vaxxers. Those guys are evil.
Yeah, I mean, it's ruining like decades of health awareness and help to be like, you know what? I just really like the title of Crunchy Mom or Crunchy Dad. Can't believe that's the name. Crunchy? Like, I don't know. It sounds like a breakfast cereal.
Yeah. It sounds like the way that, like, Pauly Shore would introduce somebody. Like, you know, like, hey, Brendan Fraser, the caveman. These are Samwise Gamgee's parents. They're real crunchy parents. They've been wheezing the juice.
Wheezing the juice. Oh, when you're in Vegas, though, you mentioned that comic book store. Isn't that the one that has, like, the rad lizard wearing, like, the two-tone suit?
Yeah. The one I like is... Oh, I forget the name. Another Dimension Comics or something like that. That's probably not right. But, yeah, they've got a cool ska lizard as their logo.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. The only bummer part, though, is that, like, he's the last remnant of the year of ska, apparently. Like, we were so convinced with Sami Zayn getting that NXT title. Like, all right, we've got a guy with who likes to skank, who's really into ska music enough to have it as a theme song to usher in a new wave of ska. And holy shit, we were kind of wrong on that.
Well,
sad to say.
In our defense, I do feel like, despite the fact that our patron saint of ska, Sami Zayn, has died, John Cena murdered him. With his bad wrestling skills.
Yeah. And his loud talking, his loud call outs.
Yeah.
Duck, lift me up. Duck again.
Shoulder
go for the rope.
Shoulder block, Sami Zayn.
Yeah, he pulls out a bullhorn to tell his opponent, like, to broadcast what he's going to do, you know? Telegraph for Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Jump over me.
It's the worst. But yeah, so he's dead. But I still do feel that outside of that, this has been, like, this may not be the year of ska, but it's certainly the most year of ska since, like, 1997. Because everywhere I go, there's, like, local ska shows in my town. There's, like, they'll be playing Real Big Fish on a commercial. Goldfinger's thinking about putting out a new CD. I feel like everywhere you go, like, there's some rumblings there. So maybe it'll be next year. Maybe Sami Zayn will get healthy. And we can celebrate again next year. But I do think that the year of ska is dead for now.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting surgery, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's under the knife. So, yeah, ska is, you know, it'll need some rehabilitation. That's interesting that you're seeing so much of it around where you are, though. But it's also kind of the reason for exploring different theme song options outside of instead of Mr. Zane. Until he comes back. When he comes back, maybe he'll come back. Alternate Reality Comics, that's the name of it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's Scott Lizard. Look at him. He really wants to be in Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's great. They sell toys of him and stuff.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, he's nice. He's a nice lizard.
I'm into it. What comics are you going to be reading while you're out there?
I don't know. I kind of been on a Batman kick because I've been playing those Arkham Asylum games.
Yo, how's that? Are you into that Batmobile or are you not? Because that's all I hear about that game. It's like they like the Batmobile or it's a piece of shit.
Well, I'm bad at games, so I haven't gotten to that one yet. I'm waiting to get that game for when I get an Xbox One. So I'm on the old game still. I'm on the third one.
Excuse me. All those names run together. So I was just thinking that you had the latest one.
No, I'm not cool enough.
Sorry, brother.
That's all right. I'm sure I'm going to hate that Batmobile, though, because half the fun of these Batman games is, like, jumping around on buildings, sliding around, gliding, you know, jumping from rooftop to rooftop.
Uh-huh.
So if I get to drive around, I feel like that's going to be some stupid crap. I might as well just play Grand Theft Auto.
I think it's Grand Theft Batman.
Yeah, that sounds kind of like a bummer, but I don't know. What are you going to do?
But they've got, I noticed that they were showing that since, like, Batman 66 is a thing now, they've got, like, the Adam West skin for your Batman, so he looks all dour and serious in this rainstorm, but he's got the fucking old-school Batman costume on with the fucking bat eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty silly.
Yeah.
It looks fun, though.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I was playing the second one, and there's an alternate skin where you can play as Frank Miller's Dark Knight, like the huge old man Batman.
Yeah, he's grizzled,
like,
Batman.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, hurting people, looking like Frank Miller's Batman.
Mm-hmm. Getting all misogynistic towards women. Like, you can't do things because you're a girl.
Hey, this was before then. This was back when he was still cool and chill.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that was an actual time of his life.
Well, I don't know. I mean, more so.
Okay. All right, well, I'll trust you. I still, like, it's been a while since I read those Frank Miller Batmans. I remember there's a part where he goes to the Joker, and then there's this Cupid doll that flies around and it's filled with gas, and I'm like, I'm out. Thanks for the memories.
Nah, that part's sweet. Real sweet.
The ending of it's sweet. That Cupid doll thing, I had no idea where that came from. I may have missed something.
Well, you know, the Joker, he makes robots. You know how it is. I don't know. What are you going to do? It's comic books.
That's for sure. Sometimes. But yeah, you're getting back into those because of that game then, and getting pumped, so pumped for that Arkham, or the latest Batman.
Yeah, Arkham Knight. I'm also getting pumped
Knight.
At the Comic-Con. You know the Comic-Con's happening right now.
Yeah, I heard about this. I haven't been keeping up with it as much, but you cued me into a bit of it yesterday. Sounds like it's pretty dope, pretty fresh.
It is indeed dope. One of the things that's happening is that there's going to be a Killing Joke Batman cartoon, like a full movie of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is going to be great. You sound disappointed. Are you one of these disappointeds?
No, I think it's a risky business, and there seems to be a lot of focus on Joker and. In a weird light lately. Like, they had that alternate comic cover where it's Joker, like, holding, Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, hostage. It was almost like a harkening back to the Killing Joke, where he looked like the Killing Joke Joker.
Mm-hmm.
With the wide brim hat and whatnot. And he had, like, a finger pointed at her head. She looked terrified. But yeah, they're doing this. Who's doing the voice of the Joker for this one? This is, like, the most risque Joker, I think, because of the Barbara Gordon scene.
Yeah, or like many other Jokers, like, because, like, there's, like, a lot of scenes where, like, the Joker will, like, poison a reservoir and then, like, tens of thousands of people die, but, like, people get, like, all upset when it's Barbara Gordon all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a very dark Joker. I think that Mark Hamill may do it. Like, he retired from doing Joker, but, like, he always said he would do it again if they ever made the Killing Joke, so hopefully.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not keep up with his interviews, so that's cool to hear. Yeah. I liked his Joker. All that Fox animated stuff is probably the cream of the crop.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's definitely most likely the best Joker. But Heath Ledger's a pretty good Joker. I don't know. Those are the two Jokers. Every other Joker sucks. But those Jokers are good.
Yeah. Yeah, and just there's so fucking many of them. Like Jack Nicholson. who's the guy who did the voice of Bender did a version of the Joker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know, it's okay. It just still sounds like him, though. It sounds like Bender, but relaxed.
Yeah, all of Bender's voices sound just like Bender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, what is this Adventure Time dog? Why is he Bender? What's happening? but yeah, I'm excited for this Killing Joke. I love the Killing Joke. Because I like that dark-ass, gritty Batman. You know? Mm-hmm. That stuff that's like the anti-DC, where it's like you can't just fly around the world if you're Batman and time travel and bring everybody back to life and everything. So I'm into it. Like you alluded to, though, the internet seems pretty upset about it, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I kind of gathered that there'd be some blowback from it. I was just interested in who would, you know, take the chance at doing the voice of the Joker. I had no clue it'd be Mark Hamill. That's well, really cool, though. I mean, now I'm excited for it. I just didn't know what it was like. Is that getting, like, straight to streaming release, or what is that?
Yeah, probably, like, DVDs and stuff. Like, all their animated stuff. It's not settled yet that it's Mark Hamill, but that's the way they're thinking on the internet.
Okay.
But I found a person on the Twitter. You know, I was, like, in a real bad way last night and, like, looking at trending topics on Twitter, which is, like, always the worst possible thing.
I mean, yeah, that's basically pouring salt into the wound. Like, you're twisting a knife at that point. You're like, I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to get on Twitter. that'll help.
I'm going to pour salt in my eyes.
Always pour salt in your eyes.
But yeah, so there's this person on Twitter who's, like, real super, like, upset that they're doing the Killing Joke. And said that it's going to ruin Bruce Timm's career, the guy who does, like, all the animated, like, DC and came up with the Batman animated show and stuff. It's going to ruin his career. The guy who makes the definitive Batman stuff.
who's really just, like, furthering his career. He's ruining it. Like, he's not doing something like giving quaaludes to girls and proceeding to molest them or rape them. Like, this is what's going to ruin his career.
Yeah.
Actually doing stuff associated with his career, right?
Yeah, and, you know,
okay,
bringing forth a great piece of literature for an all-new audience. That'll probably hurt his career a great deal.
Okay, but go on. Sorry to interrupt there.
Oh, it's quite all right. Yeah, she says that it's going to ruin Bruce Timm's career because everybody hates him. Everybody hates the Killing Joke. And then she says, in my experience, the average person who likes Batman doesn't even know the Killing Joke exists. They don't even read comics. The average Batman fan doesn't read comics. Like, I feel like everything in this tweet is incorrect, Mr. Frisbee, because I'm fairly sure the Killing Joke and Frank Miller's Batman is, like, what made people read comics and like Batman in the first place.
Uh-huh.
At least everybody of my age, because, like, that's kind of, like, when you're getting into comics, like, those are, like, the two main ones that were out that were, like, awesome and, like, revived Batman and, like, made him cool enough to make a Tim Burton movie out of and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a silly one. Then she goes on to say, I actually remember when I broke free of Marvel and was like, okay, let's try Batman. I went to Barnes & Noble and said, The Killing Joke? I flipped through and was immediately horrified and put it back on the shelf. So, the people who go around, or at least this person, we can extrapolate, because everybody is the same on Twitter, that the people who are horrified by the Killing Joke have only flipped through it a few times, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, that's usually how it works, right? Like, as long as you have contextualist sort of, like, base view of how it's appearing, it's like, oh, I only see the worst things in things, so time to put it away and shout it down forever.
Yeah. Pretty silly stance to take on a comic you've never read and that you've only seen pictures of at Barnes & Noble for 10 seconds, but that's the world we live in, Mr. Frisbee, where context doesn't exist and, you know, art...
But, I mean...
Art should be examined, you know, in the shortest possible time while not caring about it, while browsing a store.
To that person's credit, though, like, I haven't seen Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, and I am certain that it's a piece of shit. And I'm willing to say that there's a bunch of like really gross stuff that happens into that movie. Probably not as gross as whatever happens in Killing Joke, but still, it's like, oh man, you shouldn't see Transformers Dark Side of the Moon because it's really bad.
Well, I feel like you're saying the Dark Side of the Moon, the Transformers movie, is bad because of Shia LaBeouf and because you've seen other Transformers movies, I assume, and not because you're saying it's a bad piece of art because it made you feel an emotion.
Well, here's how it happened. I was watching like pretty decent cinema, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to break free of this and try to watch something else. So I went to Barnes & Noble, and I found Transformers Dark Side of the Moon on the shelf, and I flipped through the DVD, and I'm like, oh, what is this? This is awful. And I put it back and ranted about it on Twitter for a while.
That's understandable. That's the way that we do things now.
It was very similar, in fact. I, you know.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I guess that's the message now. Like, if art makes you feel an emotion, that means it's bad. To whereas the last 40,000 years in human history, if art made you feel an emotion, that meant it was good. But
it was doing its job. Yeah, I mean, I hope this person reads it someday. And doesn't just like say, yeah, I flipped through it and put it back and tries to dictate somebody else's career about it. Somebody who's been like doing a pretty decent job, at least from what I remember when I was a kid. Like, has he fucked up otherwise? Has he messed up any other properties of the Batman franchise?
Nah, man, he's brilliant. He does all the right stuff. Also, this person later goes on to talk about how The Killing Joke is like trash and not a good story at all. So,
but this person didn't read it. Like, what is this founded on?
Man, Twitter, you know, that's just how it works.
Man, garbage, like yeah. All of it. Yeah, I doubt this would have escaped your reach, even if you weren't in a bad mood and you hadn't been on Twitter last night. But yeah, what a bummer way to further bummer your mood.
Yeah, I was bummed out. This is like great art, and people talking about by like the best comic book writer ever, probably. Or one of the two or three or something, but yeah, just oh, it's garbage, it's garbage, it's garbage, Mr. Frisbee. There's violence in it. It's garbage. In this story about a murderous clown, it's okay when he kills tens of thousands of people when he poisons the reservoir.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like people forget like that was the initial go of this character. Like back in the 40s and 30s, this guy was not only poisoning reservoirs but like straight up shooting dudes point blank and being like, hey. You're dead. You are dead now. You are a dead person. I just took all that away from you.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm a crazy clown guy. Like, you know, it's which is admittedly pretty silly. Like, you have to take a step back and be like, all right, murderous clown. And he doesn't even look like the killer clowns from Outer Space clowns. It's like, just dude with face paint on and green hair. Like, yep, this is me now. So it's... Yeah, I don't know. I would prefer like anybody go through whatever it is they want to criticize or critique to at least get a feeling of what they're talking about, understanding of it. And I hate that argument because it's a lot of times people will throw that out there and it's just as unfounded, you know? But if a person is willing to admit, yeah, I just flipped through the thing and that's it. It's a dumb story. It's like, well, you didn't read it. But I read the cliff notes of it. It's like, that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
I read the Twitter cliff notes. It's like, that's, huh. Have you ever played the game Telephone? Like, you know how it gets muddled? You understand bias too, right? Like, people harp onto that and like, oh, you don't like this? Well, let me tell you some more secret rumor shit about it. And it's all true, even though it's rumor shit.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I also saw another person tweet last night that they shouldn't make the Killing Joke at all because it's the one Batman story where he breaks the number one rule, like meaning, you know, like Batman's not supposed to kill people, and like so this story is trash because Batman apparently kills somebody in it, but Batman doesn't kill anybody in that. Like, I feel like everybody's jumping on this stupid thing that happened on that Kevin Smith podcast where Grant Morrison, the Batman writer, said that Alan Moore meant for the Joker to be murdered by Batman in the Killing Joke, but that didn't happen. That's just one goofball interpretation of the comic.
Are they confusing it with the Frank Miller one? Because he kills, spoiler alert, if you haven't read the comic that's been around for 30 years, he kills a Joker in that one. Like, he chokes him out.
Well, no, the Joker breaks his own neck.
Here we go. What is this?
No, he doesn't kill Joker in that. The Joker, okay. Like, they're hanging out.
He kills himself by laughing so hard he breaks his own back.
Yeah.
It's so silly. That's just very silly to me. That part. I totally forgot that. And now that I'm remembering it, I'm like, oh, man. I kind of wish that Batman killed the Joker instead. You know?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Frisbee, because I think that's a perfect work of art, and I think it's great.
Anyway, yeah, I can't remember him killing anybody in fucking Killing Joke.
Yeah.
They share a good laugh at the end. Like, oh, we molested Commissioner Gordon's daughter and took naked photos of her. Aren't we a couple of cut-ups? Us dudes in costumes and face paint. Man, we have some fun. Anyway.
We're a pair.
She's paralyzed. He's been traumatized. I guess I'm going to go to jail.
Yeah. So that's all that happens. They have a good laugh at the absurdity of the fact that they're both utterly insane, basically.
Yeah. So who dies?
Nobody. Nobody dies in that story.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody, this is, you know, people don't actually read these stories anymore. They just read the BuzzFeed news stories where it says that Grant Morrison says that Joker gets murdered in Killing Joke. So they go, oh, well, that must have been what happened in the Killing Joke because BuzzFeed says it. It was a trending topic at one point. I don't have to read comics. I can just go off of this.
I mean, I'm really excited for a world where people are not watching 24/7 news cycles, but I'm also seeing the reality of it where it's like, hey, BuzzFeed and Gawker are true sources of news, and Twitter. I mean, Twitter might as well just, you know, rehash exactly that same information. I'm really dreading the fact that people aren't going to be like digging a little deeper and just giving knee-jerk reactions to stuff.
You know, it's fun that you bring up that point, because my hero David Angelo, just a few weeks ago, he brought up that same point, that the same people who decry CNN for not being news also go to BuzzFeed as if it's a real news site.
Yeah, I saw that a few different places, people bringing that up, and I wasn't paying attention to that in full, and and now it's kind of hitting me. It's like,
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild, these kids today, with their BuzzFeeds.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of art that I've seen multiple times, Mr. Frisbee, is the movie Alien. You ever see this?
Yeah, I'm very familiar.
There's
I'm somewhat familiar.
I find that there's too many cat scares in it.
Right. I understand that you feel this way because I've seen your tweets about it.
Mm-hmm.
it's usually like once every other month. You're like, just a reminder, cat jump scares and Alien are the bulk of the scares.
There are two in one scene. They get scared by the cat, then they go back to searching this dark room, and then they get scared by the cat again. In the same room. In the same scene, Mr. Frisbee.
Well, you know, I mean, it's dark. It's a sort of retro tech industrial-looking place. And, you know, like, you kind of forget that cat was there. Or maybe there's two cats that kind of look the same. You never know.
Yeah.
It's space, Parker. Which brings up the question, like, why is there a cat there anyway? I guess to remind them what it is to be alive by it jumping out at them.
I guess so. Did that cat even get a hyperbolic sleep chamber to sleep in?
It sleeps with Ripley when she gets back to the States and Aliens. Like, it jumps in. It's like, meow, can I hypersleep with you? Meow. I think that was a line. And you know, she sees the cat in Aliens, right?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know. Well, anyway, Corey from Illogical Contraption, you know him, the guy with the muscles?
Oh, I didn't know he had muscles. But yeah, go on.
Well, he told me to shut up about this alien thing on Twitter today.
Man, What did you do? What did you say?
Well, I told him to just come on the show and talk about it. So here we go. We got Corey from Illogical Contraption on the show. He's here.
Cool.
Would you like to introduce him, Mr. Frisbee? Say hello to him.
Yeah, everybody, here's Corey from Illogical Contraption Radio. How are you doing, man?
What's up, man?
I heard you were talking some shit.
Yeah.
So why were you getting upset about Parker's cat jump scares, telling him to shut up and whatnot?
They can't handle me. They ain't tough enough yet.
Ooh, that sounds like fighting words.
Yeah.
So is this like, is this your MO now? Like you don't have a counter argument. You're just going to say, you're going to tell him to shut up?
I'm a tough guy. I've been doing it for all my life, brother.
That seems pretty short-sighted, man. Like, for a show that loves to review the next Snack'ems Doritos with sriracha sauce on it, like, you're really not giving us a whole lot. Like, I mean... Sorry, say that again?
I weigh, like, 825 pounds right now.
825?
Yeah.
All right. So it's like you weigh 8 and I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, what's the deal? Like, why would you insult somebody criticizing art on the internet when you yourself only talk about chips and Doritos on your show? Like, are you getting paid by the chips and Doritos companies to, like, talk about these chips?
I come up with, like, $3,000 in 1 year.
Oh, wow. Well, this is pretty breaking, actually. We didn't realize that there was some... that you were in bed with Big Dorito. You know?
Pick the man, dude.
What? I didn't even catch that one.
Pick the man, dude.
Pick him in? Is that the game?
It's 50 million, dude.
Oh, 50 million, yeah. That's a big chunk of change, Corey, from Logical Contraption.
I'm making like $4 million already.
That's cheese. Well, I mean, I didn't know you guys were complete shills, but whatever pays those increasing SF rent fees, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in that city, you got to do what you can to make some money. What kind of snacks are you guys going to be talking about on the next show?
Butter and jelly.
Butter and jelly.
Yep.
Butter and jelly Doritos.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds horrible. God.
That's right.
Yeah. This is going to be a great, great review, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Corey, for coming on.
Can we get tickets to that new Illogical Contraption live show when you guys do another one?
Yeah, they love it because they love it when I do. They know when I'm working. They know they love it.
Sounds good.
Well, thanks a lot, Corey. Can you, like, let everybody know how they can find you on the internet? Can you, like, just spell out your Twitter name real quick?
L-S-T-E-R.
All right.
That's Illogical Contraption.
thanks, .com. Yep. Thanks, Corey. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
That was enlightening. I didn't know that it was so... Like, I knew they liked Doritos. I didn't know they liked them that much.
Yeah, I didn't know they were getting paid for them.
Yeah, that's breaking news. Only here on Pool Party Radio.
Yeah, I look forward to that peanut butter and jelly, or butter and jelly review.
I thought it was just butter and jelly, but yeah. Maybe implied peanut butter and jelly.
Ah, that's good to talk to him.
Yeah. It's good to talk to somebody like that, one-to-one.
That's true. So what's going on? You got some Twitter stories? Anything happened to you on Twitter?
Oh, I've been glancing on it every so often, and I'm not even, like, in a bad way, but it puts me in a severely bad way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been inclined to, like, tweet stuff to people or at people, and I'm realizing, like, oh man, I don't even want to be part of this anymore. Like, I would put a tweet out there, and then I'd delete it almost immediately, like, no, this is... Nah, I'm gonna leave this be, because most of the time it's like, it's if it's not like somebody really venting their spleen about something, which I'm not even that interested in, it's somebody asking for a retweet. Like, I just saw somebody posting like, hey, I've got this great new thing. Like, they want to advertise something. And for some reason, like, I'm okay with that. Like, yeah, if it's some new show that I'm interested in or a movie or whatever, it's like, yeah, I'm interested in what some of these artists are doing and trying to, like, promote themselves. And then, like, almost inevitably, the first person to respond to that, which I always thought would be, like, to foster some sort of communication or something like that, it's just somebody going, like, you know, they tag that person and they say, retweet, ? Smiley face. Have you seen this?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen people do that. Like, where like they just like hound celebrities. Like, can I get a retweet? Can I get a follow?
Yeah. Like first thing in the morning, if you follow like Hulk Hogan, you know, this personality who's been around for forever, you know, doing the pro wrestling bit and trying to act and all that kind of stuff. He's got fans worldwide, and apparently all these fans want from him is to be retweeted. So it's like, hey, Hulk, here's me with my kid. He's got cancer. Can you retweet? And he retweets it. And it's like, hey, Hulk, we're in Australia right now. Can you retweet? And they retweet it. He retweets all of them. Oh, man, bless his soul. Like, he's so good at doing this. For everybody who asks, it's like alms. Alms for all the Twitter folks out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I don't understand, like, what these people get out of it. Like, I've been retweeted. Like, it's not like people, like, following Hulk Hogan are gonna, like, look at his Twitter feed and be like, oh, shit, he retweeted these people who are in Australia. I gotta follow them. They're probably interesting. Like, nobody gives a shit.
Right? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure right now. It's like, I'm not interested in any of these people. Like, I'll scroll down and down and down. I'm like, I don't even know why I'm following Hulk Hogan at this point. If it's just like retweeting people who just want to be retweeted, like that's their goal, right?
Yeah. And like, I can get behind you. Like, if you like kind of get like a little bit happy if like somebody tweeted at you, you know, like if somebody you like, you know, like if somebody was like, hey, Hulk Hogan, we're in Australia right now, you know, can I get a retweet? And Hulk Hogan was just like, no, but Australia's cool. Keep on keeping on. Like, I can imagine you being happy about that for the rest of the day. Like, I've been tweeted at by a couple of people I like, and I've been like, yeah, that's nice. That's cool. Like, they acknowledge my existence. That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough, right? They star it, or they actually, like... Here's the other thing. It's like, do you even have to ask for the fucking cookie? Like, what if you just use those 140 characters to say something relevant instead of being like, can I get a retweet? Like, hey, Hulk Hogan, we're in Australia. Kind of reminds me of Thunder in Paradise, whatever the fuck it was. Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing good, man. Ha ha, LOL. Couple of emojis in there. He might retweet that because he might think it's silly and funny. Like, why do you have to fucking ask for the retweet? It's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer at this point. Like, I'm like, what? This is all it is? You're just asking for retweets? Like, you don't have anything to say. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get that. It's like people like just kind of, yeah, it's like, it's not even communication at that point. It's just like, hey, can you fold this laundry, Hulk Hogan?
Right, right. It's like, hey, you're famous. Can you give me like a nickel of that fame? Just a penny. I mean, I think it'd be more communicative to just tweet at Hulk Hogan a picture of the Pasta Mania photo, like where he's got that shirt and the chef's hat and he's really excited about that bowl of spaghetti sauce and it says Pasta Mania on his shirt, so Hulkamania. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this? You know this one, right?
I believe I've seen it.
Oh, I mean, it's a great photo, man. But it's something that, like, I'm sure he's either kind of, like, over or he's done with. But I think that'd be more interesting to tweet at him on a daily basis instead of just being like, hey, Hulkster, can you retweet this? Just see if he retweets the Pasta Mania photo. I think that says so much more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much more action in it. Like, I was watching Road Warrior last night, and there's this telling scene where all these people are debating and arguing. They're just talking too much, right? It's like the Botchamania segment where it's like, you talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
You never shut up. And there's it's just Max and the feral kid sharing a moment over a music box toy. So it's like, no, we're not talking. We're just sharing a moment. Mm-hmm. It's just being cool about it. So that'd be way more interesting for Twitter, right? Like, you just, here's that Pasta Mania photo, thoughts, and then he just retweets it. That'd be great. It'd let you know that he has a sense of humor about himself instead of, like, he's willing to, you know, retweet anytime you ask, retweet.
Yeah, I feel like that's you. You're the road warrior of Twitter, because everybody else is just hollering, making noise. You're just playing with your little music box, you know? Just having a nice little moment.
And getting bloody. That's the other part. Don't forget, like, Twitter also shot my dog, and I'm driving that tanker out of here.
Yeah, and you're only two movies away from Sean Byron and Shelby Cobra's irrationally hating you.
Yeah. Which, you know, all right, I guess. As long as I have the universal praise, otherwise, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's a good ratio.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 2 to 1 billion. So I'm okay with those odds.
That's understandable.
And just on that thing. So that's cool.
Yeah. Those guys do have good muscles, though.
Pretty good.
So I just want to point that out. Shelby Cobras does not play bass, by the way. He yelled at me hard because a couple weeks ago I said that he played bass. Or that he owned a bass, or that he was holding a bass or something like that.
Think he said he looked at a bass, and that's kind of, I mean, that's hard to deal with, too.
Yeah, I said that he dropped the bass.
Oh.
Because he's a DJ, and he does that, but he was, like, all upset. He was like, I would never drop the bass, you know, it's not my style.
Are there any death metal DJs who will, like, DJ with face paint on and whatnot?
I'm sure that there would have to be.
All right.
I know that our good friend Blake Sell used to DJ while wearing, like, a fishnet shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That counts. That's kind of metal. It may be more industrial than metal, but...
I think it's more industrial. But, yeah, it's a genre. It's a genre of DJing.
It's on the way to being metal.
Mm-hmm.
One time, this is a very fun story. One time, our friend Jono was DJing at this place called the Night Owl. Maybe I've told the story before, but it's one of my favorite stories. He's DJing, you know, up on stage. And me and Blake Sell were drinking. And Blake Sell goes up on stage and puts like a little plastic cup of beer right up to Jono's cheek, you know, like just places, you know, just so it's right up against his cheek. And then he punched Jono in the face right through the plastic cup. And that's one of my favorite days of all time. I thought that was very funny.
Oh, God.
And yeah, so that's, I really enjoyed that story. Blake Sell used to do a lot of very funny stuff to Jono. One time, Jono didn't have the rent money, so Blake Sell woke him up by slapping the shit out of him with a rubber chicken. And that's funny too.
Well, yeah, he was staying on, both of you were on the couches, right? Like, that's where you guys were staying for a short time?
Well, for a very long time. Me and Jono were sleeping on the couches in the living room, and the couches, like, for a brief period, we changed them after a while because it was weird, but the couches, like, kind of looked at each other.
So, yeah.
So, like, we, were, like, had to sleep, like, while looking at each other, and we were, like, right underneath where the DJ setup was, so sometimes if you, like, slept in, you would have to wake up to the sounds of, like, drum and bass music right next to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to wake up, for sure.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, that's how I was sleeping last week. I was on his to come full circle again. Mm-hmm. A friends of Blake can stay on the couch, and I was on the couch, and as you probably can imagine, I was very out of sorts and woke up a few hours later, and he was still in the chair. But he was facing me anyway, and we both woke up at the same time, and we're, like, looking at each other. We both had these, like, stunned expressions on our faces. We're just like, oh, what? Oh. Huh? And then we just both turned away and looked in different directions and slept some more. And the WWE Network was still playing. It was the Beast in the East promo. The pay-per-view had ended. a good couple hours ago, and I think at that point it was like, it was a Hulk Hogan documentary. I remember that pretty distinctly.
That was the night that we recorded the last episode.
Yeah, actually, I should probably apologize for some of that. Do you have apology stuff ready?
It's not up.
Okay, well, never mind. I won't apologize then. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Oh.
If you need to
apologize. Well, I can apologize, yeah. Listen, I sort of apologize because of that delay. For the super mess that we were last week. Oh, I mean, Blake was fine. I was not. I had too many milk and cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And got all excited. Got all slurred, as you probably could have told. Real sorry for steamrolling any topics that you had, because I was... I promised to be quiet, and I got real loud pretty easily. So, milk and cookies, man. It'll mess you up.
Oh, come now, Mr. Frisbee. You do yourself a terrible injustice.
You're right, studio audience. Great. And that was a good bit.
Feeling better, Mr. Frisbee?
I am, loads. Feeling real good. Don't think I'll be having milk cookies for a while, though. Feel me? You know what I'm saying?
Thank you again, Mr. Frisbee.
You're very welcome. It's good to have the studio audience back. I thought they were ghosts.
Yeah, they took off for a while, but they're back. I think they had something to do. I think they went on vacation or something, but, you know, they came back. Hey, studio audience, why is it that you came back? Like, why'd you come back?
Cumulus Frisbee. Cumulus Frisbee.
So
they came back for you.
Yeah, they're real seductive in the way they say that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's cool.
Well, they'll see you. I think that they are also planning a trip to New York, so maybe you'll see them then.
Really? Are you guys traveling with me, or?
I will very likely be seeing you soon, Mr. Frisbee.
Okay.
I'll see you tomorrow, Frisbee.
All right. I forget how creepy they are sometimes.
They're pretty weird. Pretty weird guys.
Yeah. But, well, all right. I guess that about wraps it up for this one.
I think so, yeah.
If you'd like to find us anywhere on the internet, you can start with poolpartyradio.com. It's got all our old episodes and links to Podcat Bros and What's Nuts. You can also find us at facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Like us there. We like you, so feel free to like us back.
Mm-hmm.
And find our old posts there and whatnot. You can find us on Twitter, mostly Parker, though, for all his stuff. It's at Final Parker. I'm at Cumulus Frisbee. And, you can see me tweet and then immediately delete tweets there. So that's good. Mm-hmm. We also have an at Pool Party Radio, which we use, like once a year. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I think Chris Arneson pointed out that we pretty much only use it whenever he comes on the show for some reason.
I don't know why. Honestly, it's not like he reminds us or anything. It's just like, oh yeah, Chris is on. Better tweet about it. What else? We've got our Stitchers up. We've got our iTunes up. You can find us just anywhere. It's real nice. Real sweet deal.
Mm-hmm. We're out there. We're easy to find.
Yeah, and as you may have noticed, we didn't have any dogs to review this week. So that's kind of fucked up. What, you don't want Parker to review your dog? You piece of trash? You should probably send in something.
Send in your dogs.
Send in your dogs to poolpartyradio@gmail.com. We love reviewing those dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Or Parker does, mostly.
Well, we
all
both
the reviewing. Yeah. I like hearing about it.
If you live in the New York area and you want to take Frisbee to Action Burger, tweet at us. Get at us.
Yeah, that's it's going to be like on a Monday or Tuesday of late July. Like the 20th or 21st, I think, is when I'm planning on being there. So if you want to experience the wild ride that is Action Burger, let me know and I'll make my way out there.
Yeah, I wish I could go to Action Burger with you. But
I wish we could all go to Action Burger with me, but we couldn't fit I think it accommodates like 6 people.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes they post like pictures of birthday parties that have happened there, and it's like 6 people, and like it's like one guy has to sit outside. It's a small place.
Or is somebody sitting on somebody else's lap and not out of coquettishness? It's like, yeah, not enough space.
So that, I really hope to hear an Action Burger story. But, you know, you're only there for 2 days. If you can come up with a cool story about Chuds or something, I think I would like that just as much.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you all about, like, how I saw some dude, Charles Bronson ended up somewhere. Like, he was just killing young Jeff Goldblum. It was nuts. Crazy.
It was wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the other thing. I was watching some of the old Warriors on Netflix. They've got like the original cut, right? Without all the, you know, 300 bullshit in there. Like, these guys were like Greek warriors, and here's a comic book artwork panel to demonstrate that. And look at this. Now it looks like a comic book. Isn't that neat? And they got rid of all of that.
Nice.
That's like, you just want to watch the movie. You want to watch those baseball furies chasing them down. Hey, it's all in there. You want to hear Ajax drop the F-bomb and make you feel real uncomfortable? That also happens a couple times in the beginning. So
he says the word fuck. You don't like that?
Not that one. It's one that Scott Thompson tried to improve back in the day.
I feel like he did improve it.
Yeah, I think he did too. But that's not the one that Ajax uses. Because it's like, it happened 10 years earlier.
On Junk Food Dinner, we did an audio commentary for that movie. So I'm not sure which version we did. Probably the original version. So if you're going to watch that movie, why not go to junkfooddinner.com and find the audio commentary for it. And it'll be like me and Mark and Kevin and Rusty sitting around and watching a movie with you, chit-chatting during it.
Pretty excellent stuff. Yeah, junkfooddinner.com is super organized, so it should be easy to find.
Yeah. Also, Ghoul Summer is happening at Junk Food Dinner right now. I will not be on Junk Food Dinner next week, but Corey is going to take my place, actually. Oddly enough, he's going to use his muscles instead of my own muscles to power that, help power the boat. You know, it's going to be him and Kevin and Sean rowing the canoe.
Oh, I heard he's got a lot of money, so I'm sure he's got a lot of free time to do this sort of thing.
That's true. He's got 50 million, dude.
Yeah, 50 million, dude. When are those t-shirts coming out, man?
Man, pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. Chris Olvis. Can I say his name?
Yeah.
I just did.
Olvis designed the Ghoul Summer shirt. We were hoping to have them out already. They're a little late, but hopefully they'll be out and so soft pretty soon.
Listen, you can't rush quality, awesome shirts like that.
Well, that is
true. The design looks great. They're going to be soft as all hell because they're from hidethebodiespress.com. HTBKicksAss.com is actually the URL. I know I said the other one. HTBKicksAss.com for excellent t-shirts and stuff. Those guys rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that t-shirt's going to rule. And I'm sure they're just putting finishing touches and making it look badass as hell.
Could be. They're finishing that one. And we've got another shirt that I think are coming out at the same time. That's going to be more like the first shirt. So that's, you know, it's taking a while. You got to put shirts together.
They got a lot of business, man.
That's true.
They got a lot of businessmen hanging out in their press.
Yeah, they don't
get in the way sometimes because they're all like, hey, take my card. Like, yeah. Listen, I got to make these shirts.
Yeah, they don't have very many shirt makers, but they got a lot of businessmen. A lot of guys just selling advertising and stuff.
It's like a Tokyo capsule hotel. In fact, there's like a lot of Japanese businessmen hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta watch your step. Get a shoe full of businessmen.
Mm-hmm. That's the way they run their business. It's a weird business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. T-shirt press and hotel and capsule hotel.
Mm-hmm. The stockholders are very happy with the way things are going. But I guess that's it. We'll be back next week, or maybe not, as we're both on vacation. So we'll see how that goes. Keep your ear to facebook.com/poolpartyradio for updates or our Twitters. So this is Parker for Frisbee and Corey, who has $50 million, dude, saying thanks for having fun.